Brendan.
How you doing? I was just talking to Eddie Weisel.
Yes, sir.
And he was crying. He says that we just might as well get ready for the peace conference and sign over everything.
Oh, to whom?
Well, to the enemies.
He did, huh?
Yeah.
I guess he's very distressed about it, isn't
he? He says that we've got a million and a half votes leading New York.
Well, I always knew that there'd have to be a surrender here, Mr. President.
Well, but here's a man that's going to be commander-in-chief that's sweeping the country. And he's got it on Reuters and every foreign wire and all capitals of the world. He's going to head up an army of misfits. He called everybody in the United States Army a bunch of misfits yesterday.
He did?
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Didn't, well, wait a minute. Let me read. Here's a ticker, Bill. This is looks like a foreign ticker, Reuters, I guess. Phoenix Gazette newsman John Carpenter interviewed Goldwater at the airport. Quote, the GOP presidential aspirant questioned the Texas National Guard serving barbecue to Johnson. 60,000 misfits in the Army, and the Army's turned into a CCC camp. Press Secretary Wagner declined to seek elaboration.
I'm going to look it up, and no doubt be on my ticker.
Well, just imagine now, here's De Gaulle and Earhart, and Khrushchev, all these guys saying, here's a man commander-in-chief of a bunch of misfits.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those mamas, I bet they don't agree with him.
I bet they don't. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. I won't say it seems to me the sender has his military information mixed up. This time in two different ways. First, his proposal of draft should be ended if possible comes 4 months after announcement of study. Second, it's an insult to our servicemen to say the Army has taken 60,000 misfits. Fact is, standards for American service have been lifted in this administration. What the Secretary of Defense has announced, what the Senator seems unable to understand, is a program designed to find ways of increasing the number of men who qualify for military service.
I just talked to Walter, Mr. President. I have done for Monday a very tough piece about Goldwater's opening speech, in which I think I pretty well nailed him in on this irresponsibility about the draft.
Yeah, that's
and Walter mentioned this business about Miller. Now, my question to you is this. I have no hesitation about taking this on. I don't know whether it's effective twice in a row. What do you think?
Oh, I'd just be shocked. I'd just say that... this is a warning, and your president oughtn't to get stooped to this. But you hope that Humphrey doesn't stoop to it, and you hope Goldwater doesn't stoop to it either. That we cannot have a guilt by association. We cannot have character assassination. We had that in the McCarthy days, and I think you need a little of this intellectual support behind you, and we do. And I would just take the high line that this is, we just cannot. We cannot deteriorate and degenerate. That's fine for a fellow that's against the nuclear treaty, that's all right. And if he's far given the commanders in the field authority to handle the weapons, let's debate it out. But this business to question anybody's patriotism.
Well, is he doing that?
Well, that's about it. He goes pretty far in there. He just, you look at the speech and you get it. And you got to appeal to Charles Taft and just say this is a place where the late Bob Taft never stooped to this, and his brother Charles head up clean, decent campaigning.
Yeah.
And Miller Well, he's new in it, and he ought to correct it now before it goes very far. I'd take a very moderate line, and I think it'll appeal to the folks over the country, because this is stooping pretty low. McCormick's going to hit the hell out of it.
He is?
Yep.
Well, my question is more one of timing now. The question is, I've got one coming Monday tearing up Goldwater's opening. Is it effective to do this twice in a row?
Yes, of course it is.
Huh?
Of course it is. You got everybody thinking, my God, this guy here, why does he start this?
Well,
then what you say next week about him don't make a difference. I'd leave him alone then for a while.
Yeah.
But I'd take both of them's opening, and I'd take my opening. If you don't like it, out of Detroit. I'm not going to be an opener, but I'm not going to mention party. I'm not going to talk politics.
That's good. I think that's wonderful.
But I'd just take my speech and Miller's and contrast them and say, now, here's one speech that tries to unite the country. There's no reason why we can't have a pro and con election, no reason why we can't have for or against election, there's no reason why we can't have a Democrat or Republican. But the business of being traitors or treasonable or their morals or something else, that's another thing. Nobody thinks Hubert Humphrey has been controlled by any force except the force of the people and forces of compassion. And to try to leave the impression otherwise is a reflection on the grand old party, and it's a reflection on Goldwater. And Goldwater said he wasn't going to deal in personalities.
Yeah, that's right, but he sure did, didn't he?
He still is. And say, while he jumped off and he said phony, and he got such a reaction to it, that he got right back and said he's not going to deal in them, but he can't deal on them through this guy either. This guy was so lowly held up there that he couldn't even be reelected to Congress. That's how he's held in his own home outfit. And he's pretty scummy, this fellow is.
Yeah,
we caught him just between us. I don't want to get you this, but I want to prove it to you. He sold a bowling alley up there. He's tied in with a bunch of these coin machine operators around, and he had a 58,000 mark up in the bowling alley, and some of us didn't even report it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. President, when is your speech going to be ready?
I'll get it to you right now. I'll send it out to you in a little bit.
You can?
Yeah.
Let me ask you one other thing. I'm so pleased you're taking that tone in Detroit. I don't know whether you noticed it, but I referred to that speech you made at the convention the other day as the least partisan speech ever made.
That's right. That's what I want to do, and I want you to do that. And you get sensitive. I know that these damn book reviewers, and I know you don't want to overdo something, and I want you to do it, but we don't run but once. We already, first quarter of the game's gone. We're in the third quarter. We just got three more quarters. We've been on the sidelines, and we've got to get in there before the half. We've got to win, and if you just look at the Lippmans and the Restons and the Allsops and the Roland Evanses on Kennedy around here in 1960 and the rest of them, what has been said, the Joe Crafts and the rest of them, I think that Johnson's had a real minimum of personal treatment. Now, when I get some of it, it's bad, but when other people get it, it's par for the course.
I don't want you to misunderstand. I have the slightest hesitation about this.
Well, we got a bunch of goddamn thugs here taking us on. Now, this Goldwater's talk about morality. When if we wanted to deal in morality, what we could show on that guy. I got the record in front of me where his 89-year-old mother is drawing a tax deduction from the Goldwater stores that are owned by Associated Dry Goods for $4,900 a year, and she's too damn old to even get to the store. And when they raised hell, he agreed to reduce it to $1,200, so just let them take a tax deducting pension of $100.
Yeah.
And then they talk to me about morality.
I know that. I agree with that.
He's lined up with every one of these gambler thugs. This B.O. and the whole outfit flew him back and forth to Nevada, played with him all the time, had him in his home, all that kind of stuff. Just unthinkable. But we haven't brought any of that out, and I hope we don't have to. But I'm tired of him talking to me about morality.
Yeah, well, I noticed little touches of that in that speech of his, all right. What I did was I went after him on this draft thing, and I said it's irresponsible, and I hope you look at that thing.
I'll do it. I'll read.
And one other thing, Mr. President, about this book. Just for your information, the publishers tell me, and so does the Publishers Weekly, which is a trade organ, that this book has actually been on the bestseller list for months. I don't know why it isn't in the papers, in the Times, but it's outselling a lot of things they've got on the bestseller list in the Times.
Well, I'm just have a little check on that. Much obliged.
You bet you ought to see it. Bye.